Hello and welcome to our podcast, Moon and Saggy.
I'm Badr, aka Moon.
I'm Ryan, aka Saggy.
And this is a conversation about Britney's recent posts and her attorney, Matthew Rosengart.
In today's episode, we discuss Britney's recent Twitter post revealing more details about her abusive family, including how her mother, Lynn, was not emotionally supportive throughout the court hearings, how her sister, Jamie Lynn, solicited the family for a reality TV show, and how her brother, Brian, treated Britney like she was overreacting shortly after her niece had a near-death ATV accident.
We also discuss Britney's former court-appointed attorney, Samuel Ingham, or Sam Ingham, and her current attorney, Matthew Rosengart. Sam Ingham was Britney's court-appointed attorney from February 2008 until July 2021. Matthew Rosengart has been Britney's private attorney since July 2021 and is credited with helping Britney terminate the conservatorship. Rosengart has a long history of getting results for his big-name clients. However, in this episode, we question if his inexperience in probate court has harmed justice for Britney.
Okay, so recently Britney posted on Twitter, and it was kind of a different post. She's, you know, in the past posted a lot about how she was locked up in, you know, quote unquote, that place, that facility that was just absolutely horrible, and how they restricted her terribly. That's been the concentration of like so many of her posts, in addition with just like basically telling her family they can go F themselves forever, which is wonderful. but this post was kind of different. This post gave a little bit more like new insight, with kind of just like more history of like the family and kind of her insight to things that were in the press about her. And it also gave a lot of insight to more of the family dynamics.
Right.
What did you think about it when you first read Britney's post?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I thought she really took it where I wanted her to take it for a while. And it did definitely expose a lot of the family dynamics, with her sister, her parents, even her boys. And what particularly stood out to me was how she described her mom's toxic relationship with her father. And
yeah, definitely.
She went as far as like taking him to court just to be able to keep interacting with him and see more of him. And that's all in the expense of the children and mostly Britney.
Yeah, in the post, Britney references how, you know, that Lynn got a lawyer, and she feels that secretly Lynn just was excited to just see Jamie. And like, that's, you know, maybe not the entire reason why she got a lawyer, but Britney feels that that was a huge reason, that she just wanted to see Jamie. And this is in reference to May of 2019, when Lynn like made the first moves in the case of like filing papers to have like more hands-on with Britney's conservatorship. And a lot of the fandom, we really thought that this was a good thing. We kind of thought like, oh my gosh, like Lynn and Britney are going to like fight Jamie together. Lynn is there for her. It's going to be amazing. Right. Yeah. Like that seems so long ago. I feel so naive. You know, I believed in that.
Me too. But in our defense, Britney wasn't outspoken or wasn't able to be outspoken at the time.
Right.
And Jamie has just been so horrible. We thought any involvement from another family member who hasn't, or as far as we knew, didn't do anything bad, would be a good thing.
It was seen, from my understanding, it was seen like she wanted to be a part of having a part of the conservatorship in some capacity, that an interested party of some sorts that had to be notified of, you know, the comings and goings of the conservatorship, of like decisions that were being made, whether it be like medical or like financial or whatever. She just wanted involvement and
access to information.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, and a lot of the fandom saw that as like, oh, this is kind of proof that Lynn hasn't had access to information. They've been shutting Lynn out. And so this is her trying to make sure they legally can't shut her out. They have to like let her in, and she's going to be able to fight this better with more access to information now. And, you know, and then Britney and Lynn went on vacation like in the next month after this. So yeah, we were so hopeful. But now that so much time has passed and everything we know that Brittany has said about how she feels about her mother, I feel so naive, so naive.
Right.
But yeah, like, I mean, in this post, she's talking about Lynn and how she feels that Lynn basically, you know, so we all thought like, oh my gosh, Lynn's going to like fight and get Brittany out of this. But from Brittany's perspective, like as of today, 2022, she feels that Lynn only did this secretly because she was just excited to see Jamie. And that, you know, after the court hearing, Lynn didn't even ask Brittany how she felt. Like, are you, oh my gosh, baby, are you okay? Like, she wasn't emotionally supportive in the slightest. She was just kept asking her lawyer everything that Jamie said. She was totally focused on Jamie. And then she also said that, Brittany also said that, like, Lynn just fought with Jamie. And it re-traumatized her because that was just a reminder of everything of how it was when she was a child between Lynn and Jamie.
Yeah, I think that's when it sort of started to go even more downhill with Brittany and Lynn. Because you mentioned earlier that they went on vacation in 2019. I completely forgot about that. So yeah, just to reference another post where Brittany mentioned the first hearing that she requested to speak in getting canceled. And it's the only one we know of that in which she was going to speak in that got canceled. And she mentioned that her mother mocked her for it, and she said that the judge stood her up.
Yeah. You know, and I found that so interesting that, you know, and that was in reference to the July 2020 court hearing where Brittany was first supposed to speak. Mm-hmm. And then because of like technical difficulties or interruptions, or like it's, I mean, I know what I think happened. I know what a lot of people think happened. But for whatever reason, you know, it was made, it didn't happen. Brittany didn't get to speak. And I find it interesting that Lynn presented that information as the judge stood Brittany up when Judge Penny was there the whole time. That you know, I don't understand. Yeah, like she was there. That wasn't the issue.
Honestly, for me, that also shows the complicity of Sam Ingham. I don't really know how these like legal dynamics work in America because I'm not American. But from my understanding, part of a lawyer's job is to protect their client. And part of that protection, I feel like, should have been making sure that this hearing happens and doesn't get interrupted in the way it did. You know, we all know what happened, and it was an interruption of some sort. I feel like Ingham, just as Brittany's lawyer, could have done more to like sustain that hearing and make sure that it happens. He could have maybe suggested alternatives to the judge or something of that sort. I don't know. All I know is that it delayed Brittany's freedom, and for some reason, she wasn't even informed that the thing was canceled due to interruptions or whatever. You know, she was told that the judge stood her up. What does that even mean? Does that mean did she even get a chance to log in and start? Just makes me wonder.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that Ingham would tell her, like, yeah, she should definitely know what happened. It certainly wasn't that the judge stood her up.
And why did Lynn find that funny?
Yeah, that's what's interesting is the way that Brittany says it. I mean, granted, we don't know the tone because this is text, but the way it's written, it almost seems that Lynn was like mocking Brittany for it, like laughing at her, like, oh, hopefully the judge won't stand you up this time, and making it personal, as if the judge is like, I'm not going to come to court today because F Britney Spears.
Right.
Like, it's weird. It does showcase yet again, like, this idea that this family all has encouraged the idea that everyone is against Britney.
And way to twist the dagger. I mean, mocking Britney for not being able to speak. Was Lynn ever going to help her? Or did she just want to be, you know, the new conservator? Because it took her 13 years, I just don't understand her family. They literally bask in her suffering. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is really weird, especially too, because like, I feel if Lynn had really wanted Brittany to be free and had really wanted to help, she knew how many people were supporting Brittany. She definitely was involved with Free Brittany. So she was well aware of how big it was and how powerful it was. and she knew how much support she had. So I don't know why she didn't fight harder. From Brittany's perspective, she feels that her mom like didn't really fight at all and just did it to like have contact with her dad and act like she did something. So yeah, it's terrible. And it's just so sad that not only did Brittany not get any help from Lynn, really, Lynn actually kept re-traumatizing her with just childhood trauma. Meanwhile, Brittany was being very open that she was having a lot of side effects from being on lithium. And so like in a, just feeling traumatized and being kind of like feeling like frozen from that, she on top of it was feeling literally numb in her, like her hands and stuff. And so I can't imagine feeling so stuck like that. Like here you are feeling physically stuck in your body because of this medication you're on that you have no control over whether you take or not. And then meanwhile, your mom is re-traumatizing you and making you feel like a little kid again. It's just like, talk about being frozen. It just is so, it's too much. So yeah, it's a lot. She also then, like after that court hearing where it was in May of 2019, that was the court hearing where there was a lot of photos of her out after the court being barefoot. And we know that those photos were taken with like telescopic lenses because she was in the parking garage. And it just honestly was unacceptable for those photos to even be taken. And certainly like it's disgusting how many quote unquote reputable media channels blasted up that all over. Like I will never forget. Like we expect TMZ to. They're trash and they did. But Good Morning America made it a big part of their feature for the morning news. Like it was just so disgusting. And Brittany touches on that and like how alone she felt. Like people just constantly make her feel humiliated and just not with her. And she just basically was like, yeah, I took off my shoes after court. So what? That's my right. Why do you care so much? And that was kind of interesting because so often we haven't been able to hear Brittany's perspective of these kind of big media moments.
I mean, that's the thing. I feel like that whole incident was orchestrated intentionally, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lynn was involved in that. The media and the photographers, they knew what they were doing. They knew that people in general are very susceptible to ableist reporting, especially with Britney, because history has demonstrated that that kind of reporting works. And all it took was one picture with her taking her shoes off, and that like set off a whole like storm of like ableist reporting, implying that it's like odd behavior, like there's something wrong with her, and like they keep doing this. We see parallels to Wendy Williams' case, which is a separate topic of its own, but even like in the leading up to her being put in a guardianship, there was similar style of reports of her like leaving a facility or leaving the studio looking frazzled, looking tired, looking unstable. Like these kind of words were used in the media. Considering that based on some of Britney's posts, her family basks in her suffering, I'm sure that day was like a party for them, you know?
Yeah, it definitely did feel orchestrated the way it was blasted all over. It felt so odd that it almost felt like a flashback to like 2007.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which we know was totally orchestrated as well. So yeah, it's not a coincidence they feel the same. I think that's a good point that you don't think that's an accident. Definitely it wasn't an accident. And I mean, it's not even news. That's the thing. Like, do people care anymore about Britney taking her shoes off? I mean, did they ever? But like certainly now, it kind of came out of nowhere.
It's just they knew like the whole situation with the conservatorship. They just maybe felt like they needed to reinforce what they've already established in 2007-8, which is Britney being mentally unstable and behaves weirdly. I think they just wanted to like really reinforce that again with these
Right,
pictures, and
like,
I think their attempt didn't maybe work as much as well as they thought it would.
yeah, I think for some people it did work. But yeah,
For
I
some,
think as
yeah.
far as it didn't work on the fandom at
Certainly
large.
not. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it didn't. Like, we definitely saw right through it immediately. This was meant to trigger a lot of ableism, a lot of sanism. In addition to classism, that's always attached to Britney.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they wanted to create more obstacles for the Free Britney movement with that, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Because here we were now, like, you know, it did feel like overwhelming to have all these major media channels reporting on this, like Good Morning America, really, you know, and like they're trusted by a lot of people, and they're trusted by a lot of locals, and so it felt like, ooh, like almost like they were flexing their power to let us know, like, really, like, it's this easy, we're gonna make like people know, remind everyone exactly, quote unquote, why she's in this conservatorship.
I wonder who Good Morning America is connected to, because they also had Jamie's attorney. What's her name? I forget her name.
Oh, Vivian. Yeah, they had
Vivian
Vivian.
Thorine. Yeah, they had Vivian Thorine and our iconic friend Jessie, Free Britney NYC, literally had her Vivian Thorine or Free Britney sign, and she was protesting right outside the studio, even though technically they weren't allowed to have signs. And they didn't put her on camera, obviously. I think they asked her to leave too. But yeah, I wonder who Good Morning America is connected to, because it seems like it wasn't just one incident or one reporting where they were kind of amplifying Jamie's side of things, you know?
Yeah, they consistently did that. I don't know who they're connected to. I know Good Morning America is like is ABC, and they're affiliated with Disney. But as far as like yeah, but as far as the names of like who individually has these connections, I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, Good Morning America is huge. It's not a little media channel. It's literally it's like affiliated with Disney, you know, like, and yeah, it just made me really sad that, you know, here I was thinking that Lynn was being emotionally supportive for Britney. You know, that's the impression I got. I thought it was kind of this, you know, come to Jesus moment of like, you know, all of this has happened. This has gone on way too long. I've made mistakes. I'm sorry. Let's get you out of this. Like, I really thought that that's what it was. And so it's so disheartening to hear that it really wasn't. And this is certainly not the first time that Britney has called her mother out on that. So I feel like at this point I have to just kind of really, you know, validate everything Britney's saying and just fully believe that like Lynn did not have good intentions when she was doing all of this. You know, it really amounted to nothing, absolutely nothing. She never filed to have the conservatorship terminated, which is quite easy. She did have the power. Yeah, she could have.
Yeah, it's such an easy process. She could have done it easy.
It's just so disappointing because I vouched for Lynn for so long. I really wanted to believe that Lynn had Britney's back, and that's just because I was really hesitant to critique Lynn too, because like Britney, I just thought Britney and Lynn were so close for so long, and it just didn't feel right to talk about Lynn. But ever since Britney has been calling out Lynn, it's just so clear how, you know, how things are. And you know, it's really hard. It's hard when you have trauma with your mother, because there's this kind of it's this added dynamic of like, yeah, it's family, so already it's difficult and complicated. But then like with your mother, if you like tell people about how your mother has made you feel or it's been really bad, moms quite often kind of get this like instant defense. Like people just are like, oh, but it's your mom, you know, and I feel I don't know, I just want like Britney to know and anyone to know that if their mom has traumatized them this much over and over again, like you don't have to validate cutting them off. Like you really don't. Like it's the end of the day, they're a human being, and if they can't respect like your boundaries and you as a human and not make you feel dead and not make you feel like you don't believe in God, yeah, I mean, just you can cut them off. It doesn't matter that they're your mom. It doesn't matter.
It's really hard trying to interrogate and reimagine what the family structure looks like. I think that's hard for everyone, and I think it took a lot of time and a lot of effort And after a lot of abuse, frankly, for Britney to like be put in a position where she had to sort of redefine her relationship with what family means, I think she has a good support system right now. She has her husband, Sam Asghari, and she has her animals, and hopefully she has good friends as well. Don't know about Cade, but you know. So, you know, I really commend her for you know, having the strength and the will to do that. And it's okay for her to like keep talking about it. 'Cause I noticed that like in some of her posts, I think in the new one, she mentions that she is she shows that the, shows us that she's aware that she's repeating herself. And I think with this kind of pain, it's not something that ever goes away. You can always work your way around it. You can always find ways to cope and move on and just make new memories and have new people in your life. But I think it's a kind of pain that you carry with you always. And I think she's doing a good job so far with handling that, and she can talk about it whichever way she wants, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And like, she certainly, I think part of what's helped her get to this kind of conclusion of like, you know what, my family just they made me feel like I was dead for this whole time, so they're dead to me. I think part of her, like the fact that it went on this long and she tried for so long, she gave them so many chances and no one stepped up to the plate. And like, you know, she even mentions in this post that, you know, she was like a saint for allowing them to give their side of the story in the summer of 2019. She says they had a kitchen chat, which I love, that's how she amounts it. But you know, anyone who accuses Britney of not trying to handle this internally or quietly, she did. She did for over a decade.
For
She
so
even
long.
for so long. And you know, enough is enough. And this is it took being public for her to get free. That's I don't think Britney wanted to be public with any of this. She says herself it's embarrassing. I don't think she wanted people to know. I think she was kind of forced to, but I think she understood that like she kind of had to some capacity. You know, so oh, all the more violent, like, oh, I'm gonna go on a rant a little bit here, but like all the more reason why the documentaries are that much more violating, because she didn't even want to get into talking about this on her own terms, in her own words. And then here these documentaries, several of them, came in and spoke on her trauma for her. It's just so disgusting. I don't understand why people are confused, why she hates them and says they're like the trashiest documentaries ever. At the end of the day, no matter how much you liked them or thought they helped on some level, I whatever, she herself is telling you like she doesn't like them. They traumatized her, and at the end, they were with, made without her consent. Are we going to validate storytelling without like the subject's like consent on that level?
I mean, these conversations always happen with like when they did like an Aaliyah movie, when they did a Whitney movie, and all these artists are not with us anymore. They're dead, and so you know, it only makes sense that whenever Britney is critiquing the documentaries, she talks about how they made her feel dead because they talk about her as if she's like this entity of her own, as if she's not really human. It's quite dehumanizing. And honestly, for me personally, my reaction from the beginning, I did not like the documentaries at all. I just didn't feel like I was able to critique them from the jump because a lot of fans unfortunately set it up as this sort of like thing that's gonna like push the whole thing forward and eventually free Britney. And a lot of people still give it credit, but like Britney herself has said multiple times it was her own words that got her out of this.
Yes. Her testimony, her court testimony.
Her testimony, yeah. All the documentaries did was highlight how the media mistreated Britney, when in actuality the people who did the documentary are part of that media machine that has abused Britney. New York Times themselves, I've seen a lot of articles dating back to 2007, 2008 that were extremely misogynistic and ableist towards Britney. So it's the same, if not the same exact media outlet, it's still the same media machine. So I just didn't understand why so much trust was placed into the media machine and in handling this correctly. Obviously they were very lacking in getting into like the systemic abuse of it all. A lot of my friends who are not exactly Britney fans watched the first one with me, and they felt like it wasn't really about the conservatorship. They were like, "You talk so much about the conservatorship, you've told us a wealth of information, and we found none of it on this documentary." It was just mentioned in passing in a way that even made us question whether this documentary even agrees or disagrees with the conservatorship. The focus was on the media and the misogyny of it all. And in order for them to validate that, they felt like they had to use all the imagery of Britney being abused, quite frankly, in the street by the paparazzi, by whatever, and why would Britney want to see that? Why would anyone want to see that? Why do we have to indulge in trauma porn to be able to cultivate empathy and understand that everyone deserves their human rights? And it's also there's like a level of hypocrisy because people see trauma and abuse on TV, like war all the time, and they're still unable to cultivate that empathy. So, and why must we as a society have to see that in order to understand that there's something fucked up going on, you know?
So Brittany went on to say in the post that one time Jamie Lynn came over to her house after she had been talking to like Hollywood people for like 4 hours in meetings, and it was about doing a TV show with their dad. So even though Brittany didn't use these words, I read that as a reality TV, reality television show. Because I don't know what other capacity that like Jamie Lynn and her dad would be on a TV show together. Because like James Spears doesn't act, and I don't see anyone like hiring him. Like I still can't really even see people hiring Jamie Lynn to act. But like, do you know what I mean? Like it seems like that's a reality TV show that Britney's kind of hint getting at.
Maybe they want to hire Jamie as their on-set chef.
Oh gosh, maybe. Like how the Maloofs did. They hired James Spears to be their personal chef. Shout out Melanie Carlson, who has brought up that tidbit of information a lot. And it is a key piece of information because
For sure.
the dynamic of the Maloofs and their connections in Vegas and their connections with Larry Rudolph and the Spears, it is so seedy. But I mean, yeah, the Maloofs are connected to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And also, even though he's not a Maloof, Paul was married to Adrian Maloof, and then he was on the show Botched. Anyways, but yeah, him and Adrian, when they were still married, were on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is actually the reality TV show that Erica Girardi is on. And she, I mean, anyone who watches Real Housewives of Beverly Hills knows the legal mess that Erica Girardi and Tom Girardi are in, and how shady that whole situation is. Tom Girardi's in a conservatorship now, which is, once you're in a conservatorship, you conveniently cannot be deposed. Anyways, John Eardley, the lawyer who's kind of, it's subscribed that he's really the kind of the only lawyer that really truly ever tried to help Britney really early on when the conservatorship was being implemented in 2008. And he helped us as late as 2009 and maybe even into 2010, although he got disciplined in 2010. So I think by then he stopped. But he mentioned in a filing that he made last year claiming that the entire California bar is an entire RICO enterprise. And he mentioned Bravo and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And there's this kind of this ongoing connection of reality TV shows being just associated with Britney's conservatorship and always having like this crossover with it. And so that's what I thought of, right? That's a long tangent of just kind of where my mind went right away when Britney was bringing up that Jamie Lynn had done these meetings and that, you know, then she kind of was like, I hear she's jumping out of planes now. And that's in reference to,
Oh
yeah. Oh my God, it was so shady.
my God, she's so lame. Like, what did she think she was gonna do? Like a Kardashian family type show where she's the center of it?
I mean, we already saw James making cheese grits. I'm not so sure what else there is to cover. Like at the like it was unbearable enough. It's been tested enough with the audience that like I can't even believe she thinks people would be interested, especially if Britney wasn't involved. But I guess that leads one to question like would they have forced Britney to be involved? Like at least maybe as like guest appearances every once in a while.
Perhaps, but who would watch Jamie Lynn? Like, she abandoned the only two fans she had left for Zoey 101. So, who exactly would watch that?
I know, I just and none of it makes sense. I mean, it was she thought people would be interested in a Zoey 101 reboot too. So like clearly she's not very grounded with like understanding what the audience wants. But yeah, maybe they were going to force Britney. I mean, I don't know that at all. That's literally me just wondering out loud. Because I don't think Britney would have wanted to be interested in that. But anyways, I love that Britney shaded Jamie Lynn about like being like, I hear she jumps out of planes now in reference to the reality TV show that Jamie Lynn is doing now, that like special forces, like it's like I don't get it. It's like boot camp meets Survivor. I don't know, but
Is it the one
it's
with Mel B from Spice Girls?
maybe I didn't really look. I just saw that Jamie Lynn was involved in it. I think Dr. Drew is involved in it too.
Oh yeah, that's the one, Dr. Drew. Because I saw the like a group photo. Because I follow Mel B, she posted a group photo with Dr. Drew and Jamie Lynn and a bunch of other people that I don't know in it.
No, get
Yeah,
away
it was
from
so
her.
embarrassing. Like, come on, Mel B.
Oh, poor Melby. She's been through a lot, so I'll just, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was just an interesting little tidbit of like Jamie and Lynn coming in and Brittany kind of like expressing that she wishes that she could just be like tell the family what she was gonna do and all of this, like Jamie Lynn got to and like how Jamie Lynn just interacted with her boys, like, what's up, boys? You know, like it was so easy breezy. Meanwhile, the family was analyzing Britney constantly. And Britney said she was also having migraines a lot. Which honestly, it really concerns me that she's having all these long-term side effects, these migraines, these feeling numb in her like extremities. What else has she mentioned? That's mostly like the tingling feeling in that. And it makes me question if there's like some neurological damage from some of the medications she's been on. I mean, even just being traumatized can cause some neurological damage. I don't know, but when you can't feel, when you're feeling numb in some of your extremities, that does seem like a bit concerning. And I know Brittany doesn't want to go to a doctor because she's, you know, I get it. Like I don't want to go to doctors either. I've been traumatized by doctors, you know, not in different ways than Brittany, but I get it. I don't want to go to them at all. But sometimes you just like have to if you want to take care of yourself. And I just hope she can find support to have help someone help her find a neurologist that is trauma informed and can provide like trauma informed care for her. Because there's definitely people, you know, like neurologists definitely deal with all kinds of different situations. And it's not of the out of scope for there to be facilities that are more catered towards trauma. So, and Brittany certainly can afford it, you know, to see kind of a more specialist, unlike a lot of people who are dealing with trauma. They don't have the luxury of not worrying about money, unfortunately. But yeah, I just hope she can find support.
I definitely agree. I think it comes off like there's some neurological damage going on, and I understand that the medical industry is extremely biased, sexist, and traumatizing, especially for her because of what she went through. But I think it's important to also look out for your health and sometimes you're left with no choice. I think she should see a specialist, but like not in the US, perhaps abroad.
She might want to connect to other people who have been survivors of psychiatric abuse as well, and see what their recommendations are, because there's a lot of people who've been really hurt by psychiatry. You know, there's no shortage of victims. So like Britney's trauma in this, while it's unique because she's a pop star and all that, she's definitely not alone in this at all.
She always mentioned enjoying going to meetings and connecting with other people who have gone through similar things. I think peer support would do wonderful things for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. In the post, Britney, you know, she goes on to talk about more trauma, and it's the situation where Maddie almost died.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, like, that had always been the perspective I had had, that she almost died. And Britney just, like, confirms that like, Lynn, I guess, told Britney that they lost her. So, like, it seems like Maddie almost did like die for a while there, or wasn't breathing, or they thought they had lost her. And Britney explains how that just like broke her and made her, you know, just really, really upset, cursing in things that she believes in, just being super so upset. She was throwing things, and that Brian told her to control herself, and that he was going to remove the children. They went to the guest house as if like Britney was like so dangerous. That broke my heart, that whole situation, because this is such a normal reaction. A lot of people have reacted this way when they've heard about the death of a child that they love, and to act like Britney's out of control. Interesting, you know, like interesting perspective, whose control, but, and just, it makes me sad for the boys, that it's almost like the boys never had a chance of ever really being able to respect their mom or not see their mom as volatile, because like all of the family was reinforcing that belief. And this is a great example. This is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, they were constantly framing her as this unstable figure who is volatile. And I feel like her reaction was extremely normal.
Very.
And it comes from a place of love and
pain.
Just pain as well. Yeah, of course. And I think that's just another example of them relishing in her suffering and enjoying having sort of that power over her and like threatening her with it, you know. It's kind of like, I would imagine it's kind of reminiscent of like him telling her that he's going to remove the children because she seems dangerous. I feel like that's a similar rhetoric that was used against her in the beginning with the custody, you know, with her own kids.
Completely. You know, Britney, this whole time, even though she had visitation, hasn't had guardianship over these children the whole time. And to this, I don't know what the dynamic is now. I don't really think anything has changed as far as custody goes. And it seems clear that the boys, you know, have expressed that they don't want to visit her, and Britney's not pushing it. So that's kind of that. It just makes it so clear that there was, as much as I've been frustrated with the boys, there was no chance of them being on their mom's side.
Yeah, there was no chance of them being any sort of decent, respectful children to their mom. They've been trained to reproduce the same harm and same toxicity her family has been for such a long time. I mean, their attempt at leaking this, like, these footage of Britney, I don't know, being a mom, scolding them, parenting them, that to me proves that her sons have fallen for that trap fully. And they are in such disconnect. Her kids, her family, Kevin, they have truly themselves believed that narrative of her being crazy and unhinged and whatnot. And they thought leaking this footage would actually work to their benefit. And it didn't. It backfired. Because, I mean, I'd be pissed if my kids didn't have a skincare routine. And she was making it easy for him. She wanted to put lotion on his hand while he was in bed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was what was great too, is that like so many people defended Britney, like, really? This is what you think? This is so bad. This is just sounds like a mom. Like,
Right.
I think they really do think that a lot of Britney fans are still like teenagers. And while there are teenage Britney fans, which is awesome, like I love that she has that legacy, like people are interested in her. Like young people are still interested in her. But a lot of her fans are there's plenty of her fans that are in their 30s and 40s. You know, they have children.
They have
So,
children, exactly.
like, they have children. They know how it's hard sometimes. And, like, there was no outward abuse in these videos. Like, I'm not gonna act like it was like the pinnacle of like parenting. But it just sounds like a frustrated mom. Like, she wasn't like cursing them out. She wasn't calling them names. She's just like, why are you barefoot in the ice cream store? And why do you refuse to put lotion on your hand when I'm trying to give it to you? Like why in bed? Like, really?
She certainly wasn't smoking up in front of the kids. You know?
Right.
Like, it's beyond me how Kevin gets so much grace, like legally speaking, and obviously the fans know he's trash, but like, how can he do that and his, you know, custody status isn't put to question legally, you know?
I mean, and that's something Britney's pointed out again and again. Why did she have to be worried about fans smoking at her shows and her failing a drug test just because of being around that? Meanwhile, the kids were being dropped off at her house after being at Kevin's and reeking like weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross. It definitely wouldn't have happened, flown that way. He wouldn't have had custody if he were a black man, having the kids smell like weed.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, anyway, why did they take Britney's inhaler away too? She keeps mentioning that. Like, they didn't give her an inhaler, they wouldn't let her breathe. And that was like kind of a big reason why she brought up Maddie too, is that like, you know, Maddie couldn't breathe for so long and it was a horrible incident. And you know, she was so traumatized by it. And then they don't care about Britney's breath. Like,
I think that's just really part of the sickness of it all. They just truly enjoy seeing her go through that and just suffering in the process on every level, psychologically, mentally, physically.
yeah, because I'm not really sure why you would take someone's inhaler away. Like, why? What's the reason for that? Like, is there a reason? Or yeah, it just seems like it is to be cruel, because it
Yeah.
seems to cause her a lot of distress. Like, she's mentioned it a few times now about not being able to breathe and how she feels that not being able to breathe right is what has caused some of this nerve damage. Or like, and if that's what she really thinks, is like lack of oxygen has caused some of this nerve damage. Again, I just really hope she sees a specialist, because this is serious. And like, you know, maybe some of it can be resolved, or maybe, you know, it's something that she needs to catch earlier. I have no idea, but this sounds serious. It sounds really, really serious. And she keeps bringing it up. So yeah, it's so odd. And yeah, like, what? Yeah, they just took her inhaler away.
I think maybe taking away the inhaler is a way to silence her. Usually when it's they're in a like more stressful situation or when they've exerted a lot of physical energy, they then would have to like take their inhaler, right? So maybe they were trying to put her in a position where she had to like contain herself and control herself and not be so reactive, quote unquote, and just like stay quiet and keep to herself. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But just another example of all the messed up things that happened to her and how, you know, she feels that her family is beyond complicit in it. You know, I know there's this a lot of talk about, like, I mean, this conservatorship definitely didn't happen just because the Spears family are evil, right? Like, the probate system
Yeah.
exists. There was definitely a whole league of lawyers who were willing to be complicit in this. There was doctors that helped, the whole UCLA team that hospitalized her and was on the floor of that, how they violated her records and everything with that. You know, the judges associated with it. Like, there's so many people,
Yeah.
beyond, you know, but like, and I want to get into those other people. But yeah, and sometimes on one hand, I do see like the family were targets, but I do not think that the Spears family were victims, I think Britney Spears is the only victim in the Spears family. I
Absolutely.
think they were beyond willing participants who took little to no convincing to set up their own family member like this. And Britney is so clear on that point that they, to this day, like, don't care how they made her feel, don't regret, not helping her, nothing. And so, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like a good family would have been quite alarmed that the LAPD were involved, UCLA was involved, all the judges, Judge Reva Goetz, Aviva K. Bob, all these people, like.
Yeah. I don't feel the Spears family was coerced on any level into
It
this. I
was
think they
not
were,
coerced, no. I
no.
think it was made easy for them, and they took that chance
Right.
because they're just driven with greed and they just wanted more access to money. And that's just like such a shame because Britney wasn't stingy with them or whatever. You know, she was buying them things, she was giving them money, property, everything.
And let's just entertain the idea that Lynn got tricked into it, or the family got tricked into it. But, I let's just say Lynn. Let's say she got tricked into this and she just wanted something in the moment because, from her perspective, Britney was in crisis and we need to help her, blah, blah, blah. I don't condone any of that. I do not think this is how you help people. I think the research is overwhelming and how damaging involuntary treatments are.
Right.
To the point that they're not treatments, they're holds. They're holds. But let's say Lynn just didn't know better and she got roped into all of this. Why, after a few years have passed, would you still remain silent? Why, when Britney has expressed after like the circus tour that she wants to get out, she's done with this, why didn't Lynn support that? I just feel that if Lynn and also Felicia, which I love that Re Britney recently called out Felicia because
Me
Felicia was
too.
a big part of the documentaries, and a lot of people gave her credit for that. But Felicia is first and foremost Lynn's friend. And I don't doubt that Lynn and Felicia love Britney a lot, but love doesn't stop you from being abusive. Quite. I mean, we could, I shouldn't even get into that, but like you can love some you someone can really love someone and still be super abusive. Especially if you get more prioritizing your intentions over what the person's actually telling you. Fee may say that her intentions were good about being in the documentaries and everything, but like Britney wants no part of, like, has been clear how painful it is, and Fee hasn't apologized for being in them at all. No one has apologized for being in them. No one has been like, you know what, Brittany, I thought I was doing something to help. I was wrong to do it. I'm sorry. I should have let you tell your own story. Tish isn't saying that either. Tish went into this whole like long thing of how people tried to help Britney get out and all of this in 2019 when Britney was stuck in the place and all that, and like they wouldn't let them and all that. Like everyone's just keeps shifting blame. And I don't like that no one's validating that they hurt Britney. That like for whatever their reasons, whatever, I think they are just all complicit, frankly. But like whatever, for whatever their reasons, like they've hurt her. No one is owning up to that.
Yeah, and like Tish going up to that facility and trying to get her out, and they wouldn't let her really. Like, of course they wouldn't let you. And like, you could have done so much with that after. I never encourage approaching the media, but in her world, that is like a normal thing to do. So she could have done that. She could have approached one of the Free Britney accounts and used that as a platform because we were operating as our own media machine, and that could have been a way for her to get the message out there. And to me, it's just completely inexcusable for people to speak out after this much time, after like 13, 14, 15 years. It's just not good enough. It never will be, regardless of the intention. And honestly, if one or two of Britney's parents were tricked into this, they would have filed for termination a long time ago, but none of them did. That means they
No.
were happy with the setup and they were happy with the benefits they were getting.
I just always think about how it would have been such a huge breakthrough if, like, Lynn and Felicia had gone to the media. You know, like they were willing to work with the media on this documentary, but they weren't willing to talk to the media on their own to call them up and be like, hey, like this is what's happening. And, you know, they say that no one would talk to us. No one would listen. I find it hard to believe that the media would turn down Felicia, who's widely known for so long being Britney's personal assistant and is beloved by the fandom, and Lynn, Britney's own mother. And them being like, we're worried, we have questions, something's going on. There's no way the media would turn down that kind of interview.
They would fight over it. They would literally fight over it. Lynn and Fee would be getting offers left and right, and offers trying to outdo other offers. They would literally fight over them.
Right.
There's just no excuse. And like, there are protection laws, I think, in the US for like whistleblowers. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if majorly illegal things have happened, there's whistleblower protections.
Yeah, no matter what NDA you sign, if something on this magnitude happens, there are laws to protect these people.
Yeah.
So we definitely know the family is completely complicit in Britney's conservatorship, but also the legal aspect and the systemic aspect that I think is majorly more involved. And it makes me not really trust anyone that's an extension of that system, because no matter what, they're always going to want to protect it in a sense because they're part of it.
Yeah.
And Britney recently mentioned that she is really frustrated that she can't really take her case forward. She can't really seek the justice that she herself wants with her family and everyone involved. And she's put in a position where she'd be spending way too much money and not much of it would work. So what is Rosengard doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of Britney's posts where she's talking about how she doesn't want to keep fighting her dad because it's just costing her a lot of money, and that even though she's provided so much proof of the abuse that's happened to her, it's not good enough. And I think that this is sadly a lesson that a lot of victims who go through the legal system experience. Mm-hmm. The reality is it's not about who's telling the truth. It's about who plays the game of the court system the best. Mm-hmm. And Britney is stuck in the probate courts, the same courts that signed off on her abuse this mm-hmm. whole time. And so I know you and I have always been skeptical from the very beginning that there would be any quote unquote justice. And largely I think it's because so many people, including Britney herself, view justice as her dad and Lou Taylor and maybe a few extra people going to jail.
Right.
That's what they view as justice. And I just feel like the reality of that happening is not likely, because all of her abusers have the backing of the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And for the courts to deem them abusive, they would be admitting that the courts themselves were complicit in abuse. And I just don't see that happening. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Britney's even kind of called this out to an extent. In one of her posts, she had something about, like, you know, how dare a state or nation give anyone their right to use my money, like, and use it in my name, you know. So she's acknowledging that, like, it took the court system, it took the government to give Jamie, to give all these people the power to do the things they did to her. And she's calling that out, but I don't see it happening. And certainly I don't see it happening with Rosengart, because yeah. he's a federal prosecutor. He's yeah, not going to go yeah. after California. That's his boss.
Would you say the courts have the backing of Matthew Rosengart?
I think Matthew Rosengart believes in the court system. He believes that it's very difficult for people to be abused in the probate system. And,
exactly.
you know, I feel he doesn't, I don't want to speculate too much in what he thinks, but I certainly don't think that the courts are threatened by him.
Right.
Because he's a Fed.
Yeah, I feel like our critique of him has never been conspiratorial, or, you know, BNN driven. I think since the beginning of his appointment, we felt like he just wasn't the right lawyer because of the type of lawyer he is.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like an appropriate choice.
Exactly.
He's a federal prosecutor. And so I think a lot of people think like, oh, that's great. Like that's going after like big cases and like the bad guys. But that means he's like significantly tied to the court systems. He's definitely going to vouch for them. Like he defends them. He's their attorney. I just don't see a federal prosecutor going after the California court system. It's just not going to happen. And
absolutely not. Absolutely not. A lot of the people who are observing this case, I feel like their focus in the whole investigation is very centered around like the money and the theft with the money. And that's why I think they amplified Matthew Rosengart, because he would go after the money.
I think the spying too. They think that the money, the theft and the spying, that's where Rosengart comes in, because they see these as grave crimes that you would want a big bad prosecutor to go after, dangerous people who have also been like racketeering money and all of this, you know, like I think a lot of people think he's appropriate for that.
Right. But there was so much that happened in the inception of the conservatorship that were illegal. That's literally on paper. They're illegal. Things like her not having notice, declaration of capacity, even though I don't like to get into that whole thing because it's really ableist, but it's on, you know, thinking from the perspective of probate courts, that whole thing was done incorrectly and illegally. So that angle could have been utilized to move things forward. But the thing is with Matthew Rosengart, in all of his filings, in most of his filings, the way he would describe the conservatorship in his language is very, it sort of justifies the conservatorship, right? It makes it seem like, oh, Britney needed it at some point, but she's in a better place now. And I feel like him saying statements like that eliminate any chance of going after the way the conservatorship was created, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he easily could have... I mean, that's just the whole thing. Like, with the theft that happened to Britney and the spying that happened to Britney, Matthew Rosengart would be a great choice of an attorney if Britney wasn't in a conservatorship.
Right.
He would be a great choice. But because she was in a conservatorship, was it stealing or was it managing? Because even with showing all of this mismanaging and how sloppy the paperwork is, and sometimes no paperwork, you know, TriStar is not being cooperative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's non-existent. At the end of the day, the court was okay with all of this. And you are having to say that the court made a bad decision with allowing this to continue as a conservator. And it's just, this is why it's so essential to go at the beginning of the whole thing, to get at the inception of the conservatorship, because Rosengart could have given the court an easy pass. He could have said, look, you guys didn't have this capacity declaration filed. And yeah, like we don't agree with conservatorships at all. And so like, I don't think capacity declaration shouldn't even exist, in my opinion, but like,
yeah,
they do. They currently do, and they are something that are required for a conservatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, there not to be one, that's an easy clerical error that as a lawyer, he should be pointing out that wasn't filed, because cases are won all the time on people making simple errors like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it gets to be made to seem, oh, that wasn't the court's fault. That was just an oversight on the court. You're right. This shouldn't have happened. Let's go after the people who hurt her now. That gives the court an opportunity to absolve itself, which frankly is going to be necessary if you want to go after James and Lou and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're protected by the courts because they're complicit with the court. So that's why it's important to sever that connection and it could have happened.
Yeah.
But Rosengart didn't do that.
It's in the court's interest to protect Jamie and co. because of the court's complicity.
Mm-hmm.
Had Matthew Rosengart absolved the court in a sense, even though we don't think that should happen, we don't think that's fair or just.
We know they were complicit.
Quote unquote, a strategy, since everyone thinks everything Rosengart does is a strategy. That could have worked well, I think, because the courts then wouldn't have felt the obligation to protect Team Jamie anymore.
Exactly. It made it clear, like, it gives the courts kind of a free pass out of mm-hmm. just, you know, that's, the courts are already aligning themselves that way. It's so clear that all of the lawyers are, like, jumping ship and just being like, nope, pointing at Jamie. So mm-hmm. they're wanting that out, but it hasn't happened. And yeah, with Rosengart saying things like the conservatorship is no longer needed,
mm-hmm.
with the and things were different in the beginning when the conservatorship happens, that's just acknowledging and saying that you agreed that it ever should have happened. And by doing that, you're condoning all of it. Because where's the cutoff point? When did it start being abusive? The reality is it was abusive from the beginning.
Right. I really perseverate on that quote. Like, that is now in a court document. It is documented officially.
That things are different now.
Yeah, that Brittany no longer needs it. That quote is forever in documents now. And I feel like Matthew has kind of effed her over royally, because what are you going to do now? You are looking at this conservatorship and the start of it as something that was the correct thing to do. So how is Brittany ever really going to get justice?
Mm-hmm. He's let a lot of statute of limitations pass too.
Yeah, you know, he let the especially Sam Ingham.
Yep, he let the statute of limitations pass with Sam Ingham. You know, which I do think it's possible for Sam Ingham to, he could have been charged. I don't think, I think all the judges are going to get away with this. There's a judge has never been charged with conservatorship abuse, ever. We know the judges are complicit. We know this. You know, the conservatorships cannot happen without judges.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get charged. They're so protected. But court-appointed attorneys, there have been a few who have been charged with conservatorship abuse for being plotative with conservators mm-hmm. and having all of this happen. And so why Matthew Rosengart let Samuel Ingham just get off scot-free, I'm not sure, because I think that, you know, and it's not even a matter of, oh, well, maybe Brittany didn't want him to go after Samuel Ingham. In a sense, you kind of have to, because he was the vessel that helped allow all of this paperwork to be signed to begin with. So mm-hmm. if you're going about the inception of the conservatorship, he was a key component of the whole thing happening. It couldn't have happened without him either. And so, it really was essential to go after Sam Ingham, and that didn't happen at all. So it really, from it, you know, Rosengart, everything, you know, even all of his filings, his lack of action, it seems that he doesn't feel that the conservatorship was fraud from the beginning. He feels it turned into it. It morphed into something terrible. And that really bothers me, because this should have never happened.
Yeah, it really bothers me too. And I feel like this move that he made is completely irreversible at this point.
Yeah.
I have a very special hatred towards Sam Ingham. I think he conspired with a lot of people against Brittany.
A lot.
And I think the worst part of it, he's done a lot of things against her. But I think to me, the worst part was keeping her in the dark. And I mean, I've dealt with lawyers in my life before, and I'm naturally a very inquisitive, annoyingly inquisitive person, and I ask a lot of questions. And with none of the lawyers I dealt with, I ever felt like I needed to ask a lot of questions, because it's kind of like part of their practice, part of the whole like thing, to make sure that there's informed consent, make sure that the client understands the repercussions of what is happening and, you know, what moves to make and what moves not to make. He wasn't doing any of that. Like, it's baffling to me that Brittany never knew that she could terminate the conservatorship so easily.
Yeah, it's just a huge violation. That's obviously like he completely failed in all of his duties for it. It's so clear. I don't understand. You know, that alone, the fact that Brittany has said that she didn't even know she could file for termination, why didn't Rosengard want to go after Ingham for that, just in and of itself? It shows there's no informed consent whatsoever. This is deeply illegal. Yeah, and honestly though, but like, is Rosengard that different? I mean, I'm not saying they're the same, but I mean, like, Brittany's frustrated now about how much money she has spent, and she doesn't want to spend any more, and she doesn't want to sit for a deposition, and she doesn't want to do all of this stuff. Like, she's tired. I question, did Rosengart tell her that to begin with? Did he say to her, like, okay, Brittany, you want to sue the, ish out of TriStar. You want to sue Lou Taylor and you want to sue TriStar and you want to sue your dad. And maybe if we're feeling frisky, we'll go after Robin too. These are the people you want to go after. Okay. If you want to do that, you're going to have to sit for a deposition because that's the reality. Like that should have been said to begin with, like to understand of like how, if we're going to sue TriStar, this is what we're going to have to do. These are the steps we're going to do. This is what's required of you, Brittany. A good lawyer would have told her, you're going to have to sit for a deposition. Now he can't make her. That's just him informing her. If you want to sue them, whether you like it or not, a deposition's part of the deal. So if you just feel you can't do a deposition, it's too traumatizing, it's too, you just can't do it, that's fine. You don't have to explain yourself. But understand that our options are going to be deeply limited on what we can do legally without that deposition. Because I know a lot of people say, like, oh, her court testimony said so much, but that wasn't subject to cross-examination. That's just someone speaking. It's technically just what Brittany's saying. It's not, it hasn't gone through proper due process.
I always wondered if the case was going to be that much costly. Why didn't Rosengart inform her from the jump, from the beginning?
Yeah, he should have told her immediately, like, listen, it's going to cost you a lot. I am not cheap. And these people are deeply litigious. They have so much practice in dragging cases on. They're going to try to wear you down. They're going to try to wear you down emotionally, financially. Be prepared. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, it's frustrating. And it's been frustrating feeling that there can't be critique of how the case has unwound, and kind of where it's going. I know a lot of people are excited lately because like Rosengard is like threatening sanctions, but like that doesn't like threatening sanctions on like TriStar and James or just James. I can't even keep up. It just amounts to nothing.
Like you said, you feel like a lot of fans have been quite optimistic lately because of of Rosengart's declaration. But I feel like he tends to flex his muscles a lot, but nothing comes out of it. I noticed a lot of his court filings have fan appeasing affirmations. Just sometimes makes me wonder if, like, who are you trying to appease to exactly? Like, everything he's doing or saying or promising is making some of the fans happy, but it's not really getting anything done. It's not moving the case forward, and it's certainly not getting justice for Brittany.
Yeah, it does seem that Rosengart engages in a lot of bravado and a lot of kind of quote unquote Hollywood behavior. And while, that's part of the gig, right? He's a big shot Hollywood lawyer. And so I do see why a lot of people think it's a good idea for Brittany to have hired him. But in this case, considering the complexities of it, well, it's not really that complex, actually. It's more just the fact that considering it's in probate court, which is a type of law that he has no experience in, he's just not the appropriate choice. And I think we're seeing a lot of his inexperience with the lack of action, with nothing really amounting to anything. Judge Penny's beyond complicit. I think it's obvious. But I also will say that she can't make a ruling on something that hasn't even been presented to her. He hasn't filed petitions. And, you know, as much as we've talked about the money, and I think it's quite clear that TriStar had fiduciary duty and they failed, because it was signed off by the court, and because like all of James Spears was signed off, and so one has to question, was it even illegal to use her money this way? Was it illegal to spy on her this way? Because he's still
Because of
act
the conservatorship.
because of the conservatorship. Rosengart is acting as if Brittany was tr it was like any other citizen of the United States while all these crimes were happening to her. But she wasn't. She was someone who was conserved and technically not even a guardian over herself. There's a reason why they consider conservatorships a legal death. You know, I know in group homes and like nursing homes, there's all these laws against spying and there's a lot more intensity with privacy. But Brittany was in her own personal home. And so was it illegal? You know, we know it's amoral. We know it was wrong. But in the courts of eyes of California courts, was it illegal?
Yeah, they don't care about a moral compass. Come
Yeah.
on.
I'm still not totally sure that it was illegal what happened to her. Considering like when we actually get down to like the actual laws of California.
Didn't Judge Penny drag Rosengart multiple times for not filing paperwork or not filing it in time?
I mean, she's made it clear that, you know, no petitions have been filed for the things that he keeps bringing forward. He keeps bringing
That's a
fi
huge shortcoming from a
Yeah.
lawyer.
I don't understand why the fandom doesn't want to critique it. It really bothers me, and it really bothers me how people get so upset when it's critiqued. I mean, we all wanted to believe that there would be some kind of slam dunk redemption of this all, but I just feel like from a practical matter, it's not really showing that way. And based off how Brittany's seeming to feel right now, it doesn't seem that she's feeling really discouraged. And I don't blame her. And I don't know if she's frustrated with Rosengart. For all I know, Brittany's very happy with Rosengart and blames all of this on the court system, which there, you know, that's fair. There is a lot of blame on the court system. But I do think it's time for us to start having some accountability on Rosengart with a lot of the mistakes he has made.
Are lawyers paid hourly in America?
I think different lawyers bill differently, but Rosengart has mentioned that he bills at an hourly rate.
So essentially, every single time he delays a filing, that's more working hours, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, that's something that is was again and again brought up as the huge racket of probate court, that it's all about the billable hours.
Yeah, and Britney's frustrated with having to pay so much money, and it's like he could have cut that by a lot, it seems, if he had been on time and on point with things. Like, how many hours did it take for him to file for termination?
Well, he became her lawyer sometime in July of 2021. And then the conservatorship, I think he filed maybe for termination, or he had this big filing the end of September of 2021. And then we know the conservatorship was terminated November 12th of 2021. So, you know, that's August, September, October. It's like 3.5 months.
There you go. So, how many hours per day does he work, or has he worked to terminate the conservatorship? Something that should have not taken that much time.
You know, and those are just his billable hours. There's other lawyers working on this case who have their own billing. I mean, I
There
don't
you
know
go.
exactly how all of that works, but I do know Brittany is tired of paying these legal fees. And I think it should have been quite clear to her that this was going to be expensive. I mean, this is a huge reason why, you know, rich abusers use this against victims all the time. Brittany's in a unique position where she has had so much abuse put on her, but yet she still has access to a lot of money and can legally fight, and she's tired of spending money. So there's really just no chance of people who don't have massive amount of money of getting any kind of legal justice.
Right.
You know, which kind of leads me to a whole other idea of I kind of am tired of us always equating justice with the legal system. I kind of found it odd to begin with how many fans were so excited to continue pursuing charges and all this sort within the same court system that abused Britney for so long.
Yeah, right.
I felt like a lot of people kind of missed the point. Like, the courts are complicit. Like, they're not going to help you in any way. And so I never felt that justice was, there was going to be any kind of legal justice in this case.
Well, that's why they keep chanting about reform, because they believe they don't understand that the justice system is unjust by design.
Right.
I really resent how you and I were so honest about our feelings about Rosengart being appointed or hired as her lawyer. I feel like in the beginning we were just going off of the what we feel is should be like a baseline understanding of never trust any lawyer, right?
Right.
But also the type of lawyer he is, and we were shut down real quick. And for a what a movement that's so that has been historically so welcoming of conspiracy theorists since like the TikTok days, in the name of oh this is gonna get the message out there if we you know embrace these people, somehow they managed to view our criticism of Rosengart as conspiratorial of some sort or pessimistic or suspicious or something like that, you know?
Or like a direct harm or threat to Britney's freedom.
Exactly. And I understand there's like an element of frankly desperation. It's like finally something is happening. Finally it seems like she's gonna actually get free. We got to a point where we thought some of us thought she would never get free, you know? So I understand that, but like at the same time, over time I've realized that it wasn't just you and me. Quite a few people have felt the same way from the start,
Yeah.
and they just were put in a position where they couldn't say that. Otherwise, you're seen as someone who is, you know, completely reckless with the whole handling the whole case in terms of like online advocacy. And I think that was a time where we kind of took a step back and just like became more observant. And for me personally, I was just constantly disappointed with his approach and his strategy. And every single time I would try to say something, I was told that it's just part of a strategy. And it's that word just kept being thrown at me, like strategy, strategy. Okay, so what is the strategy exactly? He's telling the courts that the conservatorship happened for a valid reason. Where is this? Someone help me understand what strategy is attached to that.
Right. I feel like, did we learn nothing from Ingham?
No, we learned nothing from Ingham. Even though we advocated against him, we campaigned against him, and the bar ignored us. Like, still.
Yeah, like I feel like nothing was really learned from Ingham, because that was said when Ingham finally decided to start like acting like he cared and kind of acting like he was helping Britney. There was so many questionable moves that he made too. You know, such as, I don't even want to get into it all, but like he made so many moves that people really found suspicious or just didn't understand. And that was what everyone said too. Like, oh, it's just a strategy. It's just a strategy, a strategy. If you can't spell out what the strategy is, it's not really a strategy. Like, it's not like all the strategies are all like a secret. Like, the laws are clear and there, you know, and sure, it could be interpreted different ways, but like, there's only so many ways this can go. And when other lawyers who work in the probate courts are telling us that they do not understand why Matthew Rosengart is doing what he's doing, I'm not sure why we have the audacity to act like we know better than them.
Yeah, so you know, all of that being said, we're working with a hashtag now, Justice for Britney, and a lot of people view this as sort of like an extension of Free Britney or like a continuation of some sort. And you know, I'm not invalidating that, but for me personally, I've always viewed Justice for Britney as a hashtag that, you know, connects you to like research and important information about Britney's case, because I feel like the term justice is just open for interpretation. Unlike Free Britney had a very clear goal,
Yeah.
which is freeing Britney from her conservatorship. But with justice, it's like, yeah, I mean, obviously most of the research associated to it has to take into account what Britney thinks, what she feels, how she feels about justice, how she views justice. And, you know, Britney seems to have a focus on putting all these people in jail, and that's completely valid. You know, who am I to question someone who was a victim to all these figures as to like how she feels justice would be served? But it would be extremely hypocritical of me to chant Lulu lock her up or jail Jamie, because I'm someone who's a prison abolitionist. I don't really believe in prison, and I think I've touched on that a few times on my Twitter a while ago, and a lot of the reactions I've seen, it seems like there's a lot of misunderstanding about what prison abolition is. People think prison abolition is literally just getting rid of prisons and incarceration, and that's it. It doesn't go beyond that. But prison abolition is actually a very creative framework, and it's more about dismantling so many different systems that work in tandem to sort of create this like hostile environment where so many different crimes can happen.
We create conditions conducive to locking people up and trying exactly. to act like, oh, see, we need the prisons. Yeah,
exactly. And it may be hard for us to maybe envision an abolitionist future, but actually a lot of people who have worked in abolition or have done research have actually demonstrated what a future, an abolitionist future, could look like. And it's definitely a future in which none of these crimes would even happen, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I come from that place. So when I personally assess what justice looks like in this case, it's a bit different than the common rhetoric.
Yeah, or even what Britney herself has expressed that she wanted, which, yeah, like,
which again, is the common rhetoric, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, she wants carceral punishment for these people. Yeah, and yeah, like, no judgment of that. Like, again, exactly what you said, like, who am I to tell her how to feel? That's how she feels. And that's beyond valid. I feel, for me, I don't know if I feel that is justice. I honestly feel like, why, I worry if Lou Taylor was locked up, how many people she would indoctrinate and mess up in prison, you know, like this, like, honestly,
right.
Like, I don't think people in jail need to deal with that, because, you know, just reminder that like half of people in prison are disabled and, you know, I really feel that the prison system is an extension of the psychiatric asylums. It's just of a different form. You know, we know the history of asylums and prisons and how intertwined they are. It's not a coincidence that so often we've used terms like Britney was a prisoner of this conservatorship. These two are connected. And so, yeah, I find it a bit odd to have these people serve jail. I mean, I guess like a lot of people operate that way, right? Like, you locked me up for 15 years. You took my money. You did all this to me. Now you're going to have it happen. And Britney's not wrong for feeling that way. I want to be really clear. For me, and if it happened to me, who knows how I feel? Maybe I feel the exact same way Britney does. You know, I just kind of, how does that stop any of this from happening again? Because all of the same people who have been doing this on a much larger scale, like Judge Brenda Penny and, you know, all the attorneys involved in this, they've been involved in tons of conservatorships. But James and like Lou Taylor and all them, they've only been involved in one.
Yeah.
Like, I know Lou Taylor's been attached to like telling so many people to do conservatorships with their family members and all of that. But like, as far as the wide scale of like a judge, it's nothing. Like, historically, people who get imprisoned for conservatorship abuse, it's because they've repetitively abused several people in conservatorships.
Conservatees, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To show that it's a pattern. Yeah. So, not to dismiss any of Britney's pain, but it was just one conservatorship. And so,
in the eyes of the law, yeah, that's
in
not
the eyes of the law,
to...
yeah, like it was just one conservatorship, and so I just feel like a far more effective way of getting back at everyone is trying to make sure to try to make conservatorships as difficult as possible, aligning with abolitionist movements, because there's so many disability justice movements of people who are against conservatorships. They understand that like they just are inherently abusive. I feel like that ends up getting justice on a much larger scale. And really, and going after Lou Taylor's reputation and going after the company, I think outside of the legal system, I think it would have, it would have saved Britney a ton of money and probably been a lot more therapeutic of collaborating with just going against these orgs, like finding other people who have been abused by Lou Taylor and going after that way, going public with the story. So she doesn't have to feel alone. Like her situation is unique, but she's not the only one who's been abused this way. And I just feel that you can't trust the legal system to get the justice that she wants in this sense. So you have to be creative with how you want to get justice, not only for yourself, but other people. I know that that sounds like I'm like dragging Britney. I'm not. I just that
No,
all,
none of us are. None of us
yeah.
are.
It just comes from the perspective of like that helps more people, but also I just don't see it happening in these courts. I
Yeah,
they're not
me
going to give you what you
neither.
want. They're just not.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think if I was in that position, like the way I would view legal justice or whatever is to completely abolish conservatorships, completely dismantle that whole system, which would naturally get you into looking into abolishing other oppressive systems. And I think people fail to see that abolition can actually be achieved is because they don't really do any research on abolition, specifically prison abolition. I think if people would actually just get into the mindset of reading about abolition and re-envisioning their future, they'd realize that all this reform BS is just BS. It's literally just like ways to conceal the abuse and have it be done in different ways that are less obvious. And as to like personal justice, I agree with what Wendy Williams said.
Oh my God.
Don't let anyone hear me. They might put me in a conservatorship.
I mean, there's plenty of ways to have justice that don't subscribe to the rule of law. There is always that, definitely. But maybe that's a good way to end. We should end on that note before we get a little too carried away.
And I hope Jamie Spears has not squandered the at least $6.3 million that he obtained from the estate in connection with monies earned by Britney. We have not said that that's illegal.
The conduct, as alleged by the Times, which was corroborated by the Times, deserves investigation. I used to be a federal prosecutor. Now I'm just a private attorney. I don't have criminal investigative powers. What happens there will be up to law enforcement, not up to me. A cross-examination of an individual or witness under oath at a deposition, any lawyer will tell you, is how you find the truth.